The scripture reading this morning is from Mark 7. The Pharisees, along with some religion scholars who had come from Jerusalem, gathered around Jesus. They noticed that some of his disciples weren't being careful with ritual washings before meals. The Pharisees, Jews in general, in fact, would never eat a meal without going through the motions of a ritual hand washing, with an especially vigorous scrubbing if they had just come from the market. Today, to say nothing of the scouring they'd give jugs and pots and pans. The Pharisees and the religion scholars asked, "Why do your disciples flout the rules, showing up at meals without washing their hands?" Jesus answered, "Isaiah was right about frauds like you. As it is written, these people made a big show of saying the right thing, but their heart isn't in it. They act like they are worshiping me, but they don't mean it. They just use me as a cover for teaching whatever suits their fancy. They ignore God's command and taking up the latest fads." Jesus called the crowd together again and said, "Listen now, all of you, take this to heart. It's not what you swallow that pollutes life. It's what comes out of a person. That's the real pollution. From within, out of the human heart, comes obscenities, lusts, thefts, murders, adulterers, greed, depravity, deceptive dealings, carousing, mean looks, slander, arrogance, foolishness. All these evils come from the heart. There is the source of your pollution." Here ends the lesson.
Please pray with me. God, we ask that your Holy Spirit would descend upon us now, and that together we would discern who you are and how we worship you, that we might grow in grace and faith and remove the masks of hypocrisy. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't know if you heard it or not, but Jesus went up to the Pharisee, who was like this really esteemed, venerated big shot. He was the keeper of the law in Jerusalem, and said, "You're a hypocrite," right in front of everybody. And then he turns his back and talks to the crowd. This is a very dramatic moment, because that's just not done. The Pharisees were raised from childhood in the law to be the authorities of the law, to be the ones that people would go to when they had a dispute or conflict, and they would mediate peace and broker peace through the law. They were respected members of every society, every town, every village, and certainly in Jerusalem, because they were the keepers of the law. And the law was the power. And the law was what kept order. It was given by Moses to the Hebrew people coming out of Egypt as a way to define their society and hold their values and keep them separate and good, and on the right path. And now Jesus calls this interpreter, the authority, a hypocrite. It's not that Pharisees are bad people, but this particular guy had something going on that Jesus was seeing through. I have to tell you, before I go on, because I had written this kind of story based on this scripture. It was kind of what they call a midrash. And it was a very elegant story. I spent hours and hours and hours on it late to the night. I woke up this morning and read it, and it was like, I completely missed it. I completely missed it. I got so caught up in my storytelling that I couldn't get the point of the scripture across. And it's ironic, because it kind of is like these Pharisees accusing Jesus because they were more concerned with the external, with the idea of washing as being something that was holy, this external expression of holiness and of religiosity, while missing the point that it's not what happens on your outside, your inside is what's important. And for some, the inside is masked. I think for all of us, actually, a lot of our insides get masked. And we learn this from a very early age, how to present ourselves, what kind of clothes we wear. My stepson, Julian, big, strapping, muscular, shaved head, tattooed arms. You know, he's walking through dangerous sections in Paris, but, you know, he's going to be all right because his presentation is out there, right? He teaches eighth grade, by the way. I love it. But we all kind of, our clothing and the way that we present ourselves, and a lot of times even the attitudes that we bring to gatherings, even the way we present ourselves to the people we love the most, can sometimes be a disguise and not authentic. And I think the disguises happen because we want to hide something. We want to cover what's happening on the inside. And I kind of think that's what was happening with this Pharisee, that the law, the Moses that brought down, the Mosaic law, had actually become an idol to him. And it was what he owned, it was what he knew, but he couldn't open his heart to God. He had lost all sight of God because his ego was so invested in keeping the law and holding the law that he completely missed the point that it's what's inside a person that justifies them and draws God close. And the masks that we wear, the disguises that we put on, work against that, completely against that. And religion is a prime and perfectly acceptable mask to wear because you can run through the rituals. You can come to church every week. You can do all of these things to prove to others and to prove to yourself even that you and God are tight. But these things really don't mean a thing unless it's begun on the inside as an adoration, as an expression of your true self and your true love for God. I remember I met a woman who was a Muslim and wore the full burqa. And I was in her brother's house and she was visiting from Iraq. So I got to actually speak with her, which you can't really, don't get that opportunity very often. And I always saw the burqa myself as like a symbol of oppression, a symbol of religious fundamentalism, a symbol that would hide away and diminish a certain section of the people. And so I was kind of like curious about this, and I asked her, here you are in the States, you know, you can do whatever you want, you can wear whatever you want, the burqa is not really necessary. Very kindly, she said, I don't wear the burqa because I have to. I want to wear the burqa because I feel it honors my God. And I feel this is how I can most love and serve God. And she meant it. I was blown away. This was her way of doing it. I think for a lot of people, of course, it's kind of like it's something they feel they have to do, or they, you know, it's an expression of their hope. But for her, there was a sincerity that came from the inside. And that is what ennobled the events, that ennobled the practice, the way she expressed her beautiful religion. You've probably heard the saying, religion is the last hiding place of scoundrels. I heard a better one that says, religion is the last hiding place from God. And it can be. Religion can actually be a hiding place because We are just coming with our disguises and our fine clothes and our everything's fine masks, and we're shielding ourselves from the authenticity that God is desiring of us and that we are desiring. Rituals, laws, strict ethical codes, they can become idols that protect us from being vulnerable to one another and to God. They're fake. And the exterior behavior becomes a mask. Sacraments, we say sacraments like the Eucharist, like baptism, are an outward expression of an inner experience, right? That's kind of the classic definition. And if we come to a sacrament simply for that outer expression, it lacks weight, it lacks depth, it lacks a reverence. I still, as you'll hear in a minute, invite every single person to come to this table because I think something does happen here that's beyond us, that's in God's hands more than ours. But if we come here thinking that it's communion itself that justifies us with God, that's just another shield, another mask that will continue to keep you from God. This is what Isaiah said. I don't know if you heard it. Jesus quoted Isaiah saying, this is God speaking, we make a big show of saying the right thing, but your heart isn't in it. You act like you're worshiping God. You act like you're worshiping God, but you don't really mean it. You use God for a cover. And I think that can happen so easily in religion, where scripture and rules and laws are weaponized as tools of manipulation and for the ego gratification of the people who are in leadership. Clearly, this was going to distance you from having a real relationship with the God. Our disguises and our false pretenses, I think they really, really upset God. It's the only time you see Jesus really getting angry with somebody. They're always the religious authorities who are perpetrating this kind of mythology that demands this exterior thin worship. And God doesn't like, he won't tolerate it. I found another quote from Isaiah. This is how the prophet starts, of God speaking again. Of what importance to me are your many sacrifices? I'm stuffed with burnt sacrifices of rams and the fat from steers, of blood of bulls, lambs, and goats. I don't even want it. When you enter my presence, do you actually think I want this? Animals trampling on my courtyards? Do not bring any more meaningless offerings. I consider your incense detestable. You observe new moon festivals, Sabbaths, and convocations, but I cannot tolerate celebrations. I hate your new moon festivals and assemblies. They are a burden, and I am tired of carrying that weight. That's pretty serious. That's the Bible. I think it's not the offerings, it's not the sacrifices, it's not the incense that God is objecting to. It's not the burkas. It's the way that we enter into these practices. Whatever you do, whatever is sacred and whatever is profane, it all comes from the inside and then expresses itself outward. And if it's not being motivated in that true, authentic way, then it's the mask and it's the disguise that keeps us distant from one another and absolutely distant from God. And more often than not, what we're hiding, what we're masking, what we're shielding is our sense of unworthiness, our sense of fear of being found out. our sense of guilt. We're hiding the deep scars of our past. And we feel if that is ever exposed, then we would be rejected, shunned, embarrassed, humiliated. And yet this is what God is asking us to do, is to drop those pretenses with God and with one another and risk going to that space, that imperfect, flawed, crumbling, goofy self, and say, here I am. And I'm convinced that that is the very place that God is very present. And what you find when you risk that fearful exposure, that unvarnished openness and honesty before God, no matter what it is, and before others, then you'll find healing, you'll find grace, you'll find forgiveness. It doesn't get at you out of the consequences of bad behavior, but God is alive saying, come back. Let's begin again. And that's when true relationship happens. And that's when we begin to form a community and a church that is alive and vibrant and forgiving and filled with grace, that allows us the safety to be open with one another. So as we come to the communion table in a few moments, come however you are. No matter what you've done, no matter who you think you are, no matter how unworthy you think you might be, this is a table that says, come and receive the transformation when you risk unmasking your true self. Amen.